for all my women out there, I just want you to know that you are a boss. Women have to be at the table for technology and innovation. And if not, we'll simply create our own. Don't feel like you shouldn't be a part of the tech space just because there aren't many women in the room. That's exactly why we need you to be there. Girl, don't forget to rep your set in these tech spaces, aka rep your culture. You are the face of technology and the face of the future. Welcome back, guys, to another poppin' episode of the Women in Tech podcast. Y'all, CC, y'all know she's my producer. She is cracking up. I think I crack her up every time I do an intro to a podcast because I switch it up. I can't give y'all the same thing. This is how y'all know it's me authentically, okay? But it is your favorite. That was really funny. I did not practice that. That is actually hilarious and it all rhymed. Y'all, CC is cracking up silently because she know she better not say nothing noise because we got to keep on rolling and recording this episode. But it's your girl, your favorite host, Ariana. For those of you, it's your first time tuning into this podcast. I hope I just brought you some joy today and that, you know, my little joke was funny. But thank you so much for clicking and listening and tuning into the Women in Tech podcast with Ariana, where we talk about the latest news in technology, hear stories from women who own businesses and are doing some disruptive, awesome things within technology from around the world. You know, guys, our number one goal outside of being inspiring, encouraging for this show is really to provide tangible resources for you that can help you get to the next level as a woman in technology. So some of the things that makes us different, guys, is, you know, we always have our episode, right, where we're interviewing a guest, or maybe it's just me talking about a topic or some latest news in technology, but every other episode will always be an opportunity. So whether we're sharing with you, you know, free access to learn how to code, discount codes, or providing free materials, talking about business pitch competitions that you can apply for to get funding for your business, job opportunities, or maybe a conference you should attend. We just want women to know that there are resources out here and that you should have access to them. And we want to be that space and that place and that community where you can learn, you know, these new resources and that, you know, when you listen to this show every week that you're going to gain something new and that you can share this opportunity with other people. I'm just passionate, you guys, about creating opportunities for women, but especially women in tech and especially for women in color in tech. I like to, you know, I understand the intersectionality of all those different things. And so we want to make sure that everyone feels included. And make sure you subscribe to this podcast, guys. Y'all already know, subscribe and follow us on Instagram and Facebook. I have links to that below. And if you're using an app or a website and you can't see links below, you can go to wallwaytech.com/resources and get access to all the information, or just follow us at Women in Tech with Ariana on Facebook or Instagram. To all our listeners, you guys make this show possible. But today's episode, y'all, is so super special, very special to me. I had the honor and pleasure of being the keynote speaker for the Code for America National Brigade Congress. And so Code for America, guys, is a nonprofit organization where they focus on developing civic tech solutions across the country. And so for those of you who are like, what is civic tech? What does that mean? So civic tech, basically, to give you guys some examples, they focus on developing communities that solve local problems specific to government. So whether we're talking about food insecurity issues in a city or the lack of housing opportunities or solving opportunities within specifically around the realm of criminal justice, they do some awesome work. So essentially what happens is Code for America is this nonprofit, right? And they go out and they promote and they're like, hey, they create these communities of people, from developers, people in technology, from arts, all different backgrounds, essentially. And they create these groups in different states and different cities across the country. And in these programs, or these groups, aka brigades is what they call them, they develop technology that helps to solve local problems. So I got to meet some phenomenal people at this conference where I was the keynote speaker, with some women and men who are solving some great problems. So a good example of the civic tech work that Code for America does is a system that one of their brigades out in California built called Clear My Record. So again, y'all, these are volunteers who get together, they see a local problem and they go out and solve it. And a good example is Clear My Record. And essentially, it's this online system that helps to automatically, you guys, get this, automatically expunge the records for criminal convictions. So essentially what happens is once a certain law is passed within the state of California and within a certain city and county, once that law is passed, it goes in and automatically looks at people who have certain convictions. And if you are eligible for expungement, it automatically does that. So that's a good example of the work of Code for America and what I mean by civic tech, right? And yeah, they just do some awesome stuff. Also, super shout out to Veronica Young. If it wasn't Veronica Young, I wouldn't even have had the opportunity to be a keynote speaker. But Veronica was a special guest on our podcast back in November 16th. And she is just so phenomenal. Veronica is the Western Region Brigade Program Manager for Code for America. So shout out to Veronica and all the work that she is doing with Code for America. It's such an awesome organization. And that was episode 14, guys. If you want to learn more about Code for America, go back to episode 14. It was a great, the work that Veronica and Code for America are doing is just truly phenomenal. So back in October, I had the awesome opportunity of being the keynote speaker for the National Brigade Congress. So every year, Code for America has this conference. And, you know, they get to, you know, they have their conference every year in March where everyone gets together for the brigade, from the brigades, right? So all these people from across the country. But in October, they do their brigade congress where the leaders of those brigades get to together and talk strategies and share resources with each other to talk about what the next year will look like. And I had the awesome opportunity of being the keynote speaker closing out the conference on that Sunday morning on October 20th. And I can't lie, y'all, my keynote speech was so dope. Like, this is why it's so important to have diversity and inclusion in tech, because we come from a different perspective. But for my speech, guys, I was inspired by one of my favorite modern day philosophers, Nipsey Hussle, and I gave a talk about the impact of diversity and inclusion in the age of a digital revolution. Let me say that again, y'all, because that sounded like something, I don't know, that T.D. Jakes would say, so I got to repeat it. The topic, y'all, that I gave was the impact of diversity and inclusion in the age of a digital revolution. I mean, in summary, the focus of this talk was about how and why we as developers, engineers, and creatives should build inclusive, equitable, and innovative technology for all people. And I was just blown away at the response of the audience. You know, I had a blast meeting some technologists from across the country and met some amazing women who would be guests on the Women in Tech podcast. And I'm just super grateful. My heart was truly full, and I'm just, you know, inspired by the work and by the current and future technologies of this country through the individuals that I met at Code for America. So shout out to Code for America, shout out to Veronica Young, and shout out to this keynote speech, you guys, that I recorded that you're about to listen to. So I hope you guys enjoy it. This quick commercial break, guys, is sponsored by Huawei Technologies. Huawei Technologies is a mobile application and website development firm located in Grand Rapids, Michigan. If you are a business and you're looking for a website development mobile application, you have an awesome idea, go to huaweitech.com and make sure you go and click the link to become a new client. If you're looking for experts in the technology field to help you build your idea, or maybe you just need a consultation, a one-on-one to talk to an expert, go to huaweitech.com and click the button become a client. Thank you, Huawei Technologies, for sponsoring this episode. So this is my first Brigade Congress. So exciting. You know, I was reflecting with my husband Omar here, who's here supporting me this weekend. This is one of the first conferences where I felt like it was like truly diverse and inclusive and not in a forced way. Like I was telling my husband, like, I've never gone to a tech conference and I felt like I could just immediately just be myself. Like, not caring, I got the hoop earrings, wearing my blue pants. Like, so that just truly speaks to the leadership that you guys have. Yeah, I'm just so excited to be here. So first I'll go and talk about who I am, and then I'll get into the topic of today. So I currently live in Grand Rapids, Michigan. I am a native of ATL. I'm ATLian all my life. I'm from Atlanta, Georgia. My husband and I, we moved to Grand Rapids about 3 years ago. And I consider myself a serial entrepreneur. So I'm the founder, well, CTO and co-founder of Delilah Can. It's a digital marketplace, Amazon style, that sells cannabis-based products throughout the state of Michigan. I also own my own technology firm in Grand Rapids where we develop websites and mobile applications for businesses. And then I have a global podcast that's in like 8 countries, which is insane, where we talk about women in tech. And I started that only like almost a year ago, and we have skyrocketed. It's insane the amount of consistent listeners that we have, the awards that we're winning for the podcast. And I just kind of created it out of a natural desire to want to have a space where women can talk about their projects. Like, I was just tired of walking into a space and telling people, yeah, like, you know, I'm a developer, and they're looking at me like I'm sideways, right? And so, so I decided to create
the Women in Tech with Ariana podcast. But what makes us truly different from any other podcast is that beyond that, I just believe it's important to share resources, like tangible resources. It's easy, right, for me to get up here and be like, yo, like I'm a boss, right? Like I got all these businesses. But the truth is how can I help other people, right, who look like me and who don't look like me, make it to where I am and even beyond? And so what makes our podcast different is that every other episode, I actually talk about a tangible resource that women and even men, but majority women, can use. So we talk about conferences you should attend. You know, VCs and angels will come on to the show and talk about their investment firms. You know, I'm talking about grant opportunities. So just truly sharing resources that can actually help people, because I feel like it's a lot of people like doing like the motivational quotes and like inspirational, but how can I actually build something? How can I actually make a difference in my community? And I love that about Code for America, because you guys share so many resources. You're all from like completely different parts of the country, but the way that, you know, just to be here and to see how you guys interact with each other, it directly, you know, connects to me and some of the things that I'm passionate about. So I'm just super glad to be here. One more thing about me, I'm actually, so for my cannabis tech company, in 8 days, I'm actually pitching at Forbes in Detroit, Michigan, for a $250,000 grant. And so I know there's a recording somewhere, so I just have to shout out my team for letting me like not talk to them for 3 days to be here for Code for America. But yeah, just doing some dope stuff in tech. I just love to share my story, because I think it's rare to be, I'm pretty straightforward, but it's pretty rare in this society to be a Black woman in tech, right? And then a Black woman without a degree, right? Like that is typically unheard of. And I like to share my story just to show that wherever you're from, inner city community, suburban area, whatever, that, you know, it's possible for you to make it and fulfill your dreams. And so I'm just truly grateful for the opportunities that I have on the table. So that's just a little spill about me. Okay, so the topic of today, guys, is the impact of diversity and inclusion in the age of a digital revolution. So I'm super passionate about two major things. And one of them is technology. The other one is diversity inclusion, for obvious reasons. Most of the things I do can stem from, and the core is those two things. I love and I'm passionate about solving technology problems, whether it's figuring out how consumers can access cannabis products legally, or supporting the work of National Expungement Week from a technological perspective. Yeah, so today's talk is more about just bringing light to, I think we all understand that diversity and inclusion is important, but I think that sometimes it's easy for us to get into this space where we're working on something and we're changing the world, but we have to also remember that there are other parts of the world and communities that are still facing some basic challenges that, you know, need our support and help. So I hope that this presentation is just enlightening to you, from some stories that inspire me as a technologist, and I hope that they inspire you as well. So what is the digital revolution? I think, you know, we all understand what this means, right? It means that technology is moving fast, right? And that as we become a more inclusive and diverse space, there will be different and more unique problems and issues that come about. But one thing I am passionate about is understanding how this digital revolution and how we're moving fast, how are we making sure that we are including those who are underrepresented and who can at times be overlooked. One of my favorite definitions of the digital revolution is from one of my favorite philosophers, who I'll talk about more in detail about who he is later, Nipsey Hussle. And he says that anything that can go digital will go digital. Yeah, this is one of my favorite quotes. He's a philosopher, tech enthusiast, one of my favorite rappers. And again, I'll talk more about who he is later in his story. But this is one of the best definitions I could find about what is the digital revolution. And when that word anything to me is super powerful, as a technologist, because I consider myself like super creative, right? Whenever I see a problem, I'm like, I'm going to build a solution in 6 months, right? And actually, my tech team actually did, but I never do that again. Don't ever do that. We did. Like, we started in March. Our MVP, like, app launched in, like, August. So it was, like, insane. Yeah, so from one of my latest discoveries of how technology is helping, I try to look at it from a broad spectrum, right? So he says anything that can't go digital will go digital. And one of the recent things that I discovered is that there's a woman who's trying to come back the epidemic of Black mothers being 3 to 4 times more likely to die while giving birth to white women. And so this woman, it's an app called Hude, and it's a healthcare company that's developed an app for women of color to find access to healthcare professionals, insurance providers, and specialists, right? So there's this huge broad spectrum of issues that are out there, and because of different people coming from different communities, we're able to look at these problems from a different perspective. And of course, from anything, there are other examples such as, you know, dollars, right? Cryptocurrency, shopping at Amazon Go, which will eventually take over all our grocery stores. Another thing about me, so in every space that I'm in, so whether I'm at Huawei Technologies, which is my tech firm, and, you know, we're developing websites and mobile apps and making sure that it's inclusive, ADA approved, and all that good stuff, I am always trying to think about other people outside of myself. So I actually have this friend, and I don't even think I told my husband this, but I have this friend in Grand Rapids. His name is Gary, and he's actually a homeless man. And Gary and I, we always ride the bus together Monday and Tuesday mornings on my way to my office downtown. And Gary was sharing his story about his life and things that kind of happened. And there have been a couple of times where we've actually gone out to lunch to certain places that will let us in. Unfortunately, some don't because he's homeless. But I often think about, okay, how can I impact Gary's life? What are some things that I can do to help people like Gary? One of the things that scares me about the future is like, okay, as technology is advancing and becoming more efficient and faster, and for you and I, you know, what does this mean for Gary if, you know, all the stores downtown only accept crypto and he doesn't even have a phone? How will he have access to basic things and necessities that will help him survive in life? And so throughout this presentation, the true theme is thinking about others before ourselves, and how can we make sure that we're always looking and thinking at, you know, at a perspective that's different from our own. So how will the digital revolution affect marginalized communities? So I talked about the story of Gary. But what happens to these communities that, you know, lack resources and exposure and try to catch up with the rest of the world? And what will become the norm for them as everything else moves and advances so fast? As technology advances, these marginalized communities tend to miss the window due to what I like to call institutional barriers. And so I have a couple of stories that I'm going to share about communities throughout the U.S. who are facing some institutional barriers and basic things that they should need, but they don't have. This was a really shocking fact to me, and it was 40% of Detroit residents are without Wi-Fi connection. And I don't know if any of you know, but Detroit is a very, very big city, right? So why on earth, and to be straightforward, why in the hell would a big city like Detroit, 40% of them not have access to Wi-Fi? What's going on, right? This is something I didn't know, and again, I live in Grand Rapids, Michigan, which is 2.5 hours away from Detroit. So Detroit is one of the top 5 least connected cities in the U.S., and half of the city's people have about 1,000 megabits per second speed of Wi-Fi. But unfortunately, the more marginalized communities within the city of Detroit only have an average of 10 megabits per second, or none at all. What are these barriers? What are these institutional barriers that are causing 40% of the city of Detroit to not have Wi-Fi? And unfortunately, due to high foreclosure rates and low credit scores in certain communities, telecom companies choose to not offer good services in certain communities throughout Detroit. And I think that is an absolute shame that even a credit score would hinder someone to have one of the most, if not the most important tool you can have as a human being. The internet now obviously is a right that I feel like we all should have, just like, you know, breathing, obviously we cannot breathe, but water and access to healthcare and all that good stuff. And so yeah, that was a pretty shocking thing to me. Some solutions, which was really amazing to me, there is this group called the Detroit Community Technology Project. And so this project was born due to, you know, the 40% of Detroiters that don't have access to Wi-Fi. But yeah, a group of Detroiters, community members, and nonprofits decided to get together and build what they call the internet, to build the internet for themselves. So they're no longer waiting for these telecom companies to realize that they matter and that, you know, they should have this access, and they started to build it themselves. So they're starting with 3 underserved neighborhoods throughout the city, installing high-speed internet that beams those beams shared gigabit connections from an antenna on top of some of the tallest buildings throughout Detroit into the homes of community members who previously didn't have internet. And although this is awesome, right, that this exists, it shouldn't have to, right, in 2019. But the Equitable Internet Initiative is a program that teaches Detroit residents how to build autonomous, affordable, and high-speed Wi-Fi networks, including internet and intranet connections to help give residents control over their own privacy. Additional to this program, they have a stewardship program where they actually train local community members and youth on how to build this technology. So it's about a 20-week program where they come, or people who aren't technologists, or even if you are, you can be a part of it, and they can come, and in 20 weeks they become experts and they learn how to install, troubleshoot, and maintain a network from end to end. And I'm sharing this story because obviously I want to highlight this program, and there's also, I'll talk about it later, but there's a way that I have for you guys to actually support them and follow their story. But I just think that, you know, it's important for us to be inspired by our work, but also to remind ourselves that there are challenges out here that still need to be fixed, and that we should always keep ourselves aware, because it'll keep us humble as technologists, as we create. If we're always thinking about somebody else, right? Like when you're starting a startup or you're building some type of technology, if we're remembering that there are people in Detroit and in other areas, not even just the city of Detroit, that have that don't have access to the internet, I think that it stems something in us, right, to think, you know, ahead before we start actually building something and making sure that our technology is inclusive in all our designs and stuff like that. So now I want to get in and talk about Nipsey Hussle. So again, one of my favorite philosophers of this time, but Nipsey Hussle, a.k.a. Ermias Askdom, and I think I'm pronouncing his name right. You might want to look it up on YouTube to make sure. AKA Neighborhood Nip, was born and raised on the west side of LA. He was raised by his Eritrean father and African-American mother on the south side of LA. Nipsey Hussle was a well-known American rapper, entrepreneur, community activist, and father of two. Neighborhood Nip, Mr. Nip, King Nip, Nipsey Hussle understood the institutional barriers that his local community faced in the Crenshaw District. From gentrification, the lack of investment in Hyde Park, that's the south section of LA, abandoned buildings and no access to resources where that could grant opportunity in the Crenshaw area. Nipsey Hussle was really inspirational for me because he was a gang member, actually. I'm part of the Crip gang, but his story of how he never forgot about where he came from and how important it was to get back to his community is very inspirational for me as a technologist. I think that sometimes we can look at our own challenges in our lives, but it's important to remember that someone else's story can be worse than ours, and for me it's a reminder to just be inspired and to continue to innovate. But what many didn't know about Nipsey Hussle was his passion for technology, and even more so, the strong desire he had to ensure that his community, a black community on the south side of LA, had access to exposure and impact, to the exposure and impact of what technology he could make. He understood that technology was the way out for his community, and from a generational perspective. In 2017, Nipsey Hussle bought real estate with business partner DJ Khaled. I'm sure we all know him. We the best, right? I love when he says that. He bought real estate with business owner DJ Khaled throughout the Crenshaw District. A part of this real estate was used for his now infamous store, the Marathon Clothing Store. But what makes this store different is that it's actually a smart store, which I had never heard of. And so it integrates technology to help increase business efficiency and creates an experience for the customers. He was inspired by Starbucks. Neighborhood Nip wanted to give his customers a revolutionary experience every time that they walked through the door. The store gives access to free Wi-Fi for community members to come and use, because in that community there is a lack of Wi-Fi connection as well, because it's lower income and other issues. There are sitting areas for community members to come inside and actually do work as if you would Starbucks. And there's a cafe, jazz music playing in the background, all this good stuff. And a mobile app that's used for customers to purchase product. And so on February 15, 2018, Nipsey partnered with Vector 90 and launched a program called Too Big to Fail. This idea came from him saying, and he talks about this in some of his interviews, is that the inner city communities are too big to fail. And although people aren't investing and they may not be able to see what we can bring to the table, I see it. And he put his dollars where his mouth was. And he and his business partner purchased a 5,000 square foot compound that serves as inner city co-working incubator. And it provides affordable office space for local entrepreneurs. And Nipsey noticed that brands like WeWork, which is a collaborative space that all over the nation, overlook these types of marginalized communities. And so, like Crenshaw, and he decided to create a space of his own for his community to gather and work collaborative to make change. And I just think that it's amazing, right, where you can have someone who is a gang member, a philanthropist, rapper, all this good stuff, what it means to for him to have access to resources to make changes in his community, right, and passing those things on. But additional to providing this nice space, this first space for the Crenshaw District, a part of the incubator program, every year they choose a business to pitch like a Shark Tank style, and they can receive funding. And to some of us, you know, this is a familiar conversation, but for people in the Crenshaw District, this is the first time they've ever heard of what the term incubator, what is a pitch, you know, what is a WeWork, what is a co-working space. I really resonate with this. I grew up in Atlanta, on the west side of Atlanta, MLK, if anybody from Atlanta, if you know MLK, that's where I'm from. I remember, so I went to Tuskegee University, which is a historically black college in Alabama, and so I remember, and I'm first generation, well, I was first generation college student, then dropped out, but I remember when I first started to hear conversations about investors, and like, what is a cap table? What's a VC? What is a startup? Like, I own like 3 startups now, but 5-6 years ago, I had no idea what that even was. And so, you know, this story just really resonates with me because I see how people have, you know, spoken to my life and other people who played like a Nipsey Hussle type of role in my life and how they've given back to me. And so this is just a big deal, but maybe for other people in other communities who are used to hearing this thing, it may not be, but it is. And so, yeah, so he gives opportunity, you have the WeWork space, opportunity for investment in these communities. And at the lower level of this building is his STEM center. Nipsey often talked about the importance of bridging the gap between inner city communities and Silicon Valley, right? Which I'm pretty sure we're all familiar with Silicon Valley. He believed that the inner city communities of the west side of LA had just as much talent, and if not even more than those in Silicon Valley. He believed in the grit and grind and pure inspiration and hustle that the Crenshaw community had to offer, even with the lack of resources. Nipsey imagined and knew that with the proper resources, Crenshaw could be the next district on the map for being a leader in technology and innovation. And the STEM Center located serves the purpose of bridging the gap between the inner youth and Silicon Valley. Nipsey Hussle truly believed in the power of giving back and for his people and on the south side of LA. Even people like Jay-Z were inspired by the work of Nipsey Hussle. And now one of Jay-Z's most famous lines, gentrify your own hood before the other people do it. And so that does have some snaps on that. You know, when I think about this story and how Nipsey Hussle was so passionate about making sure that these students, the youth, the adults in the Crenshaw area had access to technology and resources, it's just mind-blowing to me. And there's this meme I saw a couple weeks ago on Facebook, and it said, you know, and this also relates back to the Detroit story, right? So not having the 40% access to the internet, and the meme said, you know, they tried to bury me, but they didn't know we were seeds, right? It's just like this story of like, the Detroit community, that the technology project program, the fact that they are not waiting on telecom companies to provide internet access, they're building it themselves. That just blows my mind. I'm thankful and grateful to have the access to resources I have to launch my tech companies, but I just cannot imagine that what that work looks like. However, unfortunately, on March 31st, 2019, Neighborhood Nip, aka Aramis, was gunned down in his own neighborhood in front of his store, the Marathon store, and he was only 33 years old. This is pretty disheartening for people in the Crenshaw neighborhood and those of us who know his story and were connected through him. And however, his legacy will still live on, and the Too Big to Fail program will certainly move move on, the people in the Crenshaw area and that district and that community will still have access to these technology resources that will change their lives. So yeah, rest in peace, Nipsey Hussle, long live him. And so in this topic, right, of the impact of diversity and inclusion and how we have these communities and people who may come from underrepresented areas and how they're able to look at problems differently and solve them. Some common trends that I find is that the number one common trend is that across the board, safe spaces are being created, right? So NIPS, he created this safe space in the Crenshaw, in the middle of the hood, right? Like one of the considered most dangerous areas in Southside LA. And another good example, I had a woman recently on my podcast. Her name is Naomi Cedar. And Naomi is the chair of the Python Software Foundation Board in the UK. So the Python Software Foundation Board holds all the intellectual property and rights for the Python program. And Naomi is the founder of Transcode. And Transcode is the UK's largest hack event focused solely on drawing attention to transgender issues and opportunities. A safe space where the trans community can feel free and open to solving problems that they face. One thing that I enjoy about being in the tech industry more than like 6 years ago, I think it's way more diverse now, but I enjoy being in these safe spaces and supporting other people's work who create spaces for those who are underrepresented within technology. Another good example of a safe space is Afrotech. I don't know if many of you know about Afrotech. Afrotech is a conference where they support the work of Black engineers, developers, creatives, people of color from all across the nation, and I think they're even globally now. And this year it's going to be in Oakland, California, and I actually might be there. So if you're there, I'll be there. So that's a common trend. A second common trend that I'm seeing throughout the impact of this digital revolution is, simply put, that technology is being developed that otherwise would never have existed without the diverse perspectives of these communities. A good example is Renters Rights Guide. Are they here today? Are you guys here? San Jose? You guys worked on a project? Okay, no? Okay, that's fine. Well, Renters Rights Guide is, I believe they're a brigade in San Jose, California, they developed a website that helps inform community members on their rights around convictions, handling rent increase, and facing discrimination. And I think that's awesome. I think that's, you know, an important issue across the board. I just wanted to acknowledge your work. So a few key takeaways, guys, is that, our work as developers and creatives, technologists and engineers, is not done, and communities continually need your support. And I think we all know that, but again, I just think it's important for us to remember to look at life outside of ourselves and how we can support other people's work, even if we don't fully understand or fully, have experienced the same problems that some of these developers and engineers are solving. And the second key takeaway is that there's hope. There's hope that the technology culture is shifting, and I'm so honored and glad that we are all a part of this shift in this digital revolution as we continue to fight to make sure that it's continuously inclusive and that we provide access to resources to communities that need them. And then also have a giveaway. So I, for my podcast, I'm sponsored by Manning Publications Company. They are a company that focuses, they have, most of their authors are like developers and engineers. So if you're trying to learn how to code, you want to learn about machine learning and all this awesome stuff, they've actually provided some coupon codes and free books for you guys that I have at this website. And so if you could take a picture of it or type it in, whatever, I'm going to make sure that I leave you guys with something, because again, like, I'm all about, you know, sharing information, being encouraging, but at the end of the day, also giving out tangible resources that can actually help propel us in the future. And so these are three of their most prominent authors. That's Naomi Cedar to the left. She is the chair of the Python Software Foundation Board. She also came on the podcast, so make sure you check out that episode. It's pretty cool. But yeah, so that's some gifts that I have for you guys. I think it's like 4 free books and also a 40% off gift coupon for any of their books on their platform as well. So I wanted to leave you guys with that. say thank you for having me here today.
So that was the end, guys, of my keynote speech with Code for America. That was just such an awesome opportunity, and I'm so glad that I got to share it with y'all. Let me know how y'all felt. Like, what did you learn something? Was it inspiring or did it suck? Like, I need to know that too. The feedback is great. I don't know if you guys can notice, but I was so nervous. My husband, he actually came with me and traveled with me to Ohio. Shout out to my awesome husband, Omar Wallace. That's my boo, my bae. I was so nervous before that. You can ask my husband. I remember when I was leaving the hotel room and I was about to walk out and I rushed back into the room and I was so nervous, you guys. I was making myself sick. Like, I was just so nervous and I just was basically trying to talk myself. Need I remind y'all, they paid me to be there, flewed out. Your girl got flewed out. Y'all know that, flewed out. But your girl got flewed out to Cleveland, Ohio, and I was trying to talk myself out of not showing up. Isn't that crazy how imposter syndrome will make you feel that way? Like, here I am doing all this awesome stuff in the world. It's okay, Ariana, like, go out there on that stage and kill it. And I believe I did. I think I had a great opportunity and great experience. The people were clapping. I mean, I was in shock. I had a line of people waiting to talk to me after my speech. And it was just one of the most fulfilling feelings ever. And I will always remember that. And so thank you to Code for America for allowing me to have the opportunity. And yeah, guys, let me know if you liked the speech. And you guys know, I always say this at the end, but if you're interested in being a guest on this show, you got a topic you want me to talk about or feedback about the podcast, or maybe you just want to shoot me a note and say, Ariana, your show is the best ever. Totally do that. You can shoot me an email at podcast@wallwaytech.com. That's podcast@wallwaytech.com. I love hearing from you guys and taking suggestions. And don't forget to hit the subscribe button. I'm so grateful for you guys. This community that we are building is live and real, and you guys are all over the world, and I'm just so glad that I get to speak into your life. And again, thank you to all of you, and this wouldn't be done without you, and I will talk to you next week.